You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Hello and welcome to Stick Together, Australia's national radio show dedicated to union and workplace justice issues, broadcast right across the country on the Community Radio Network. I'm James Brennan and I'm coming to you from 3CR on unceded Wurundjeri land here in Nam. We begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we're broadcasting from, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past and present and recognise the sovereignty was never ceded. The struggle for land rights, justice and workers' rights are ongoing and deeply connected. Stick Together is proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation, supporting independent media and keeping community voices on the air. We thank them for their support. On today's show, we're going to be hearing an interview with Nikki, who is from the United Workers Union. And we're going to be hearing a little bit more about the Members First campaign for their election. We heard a few weeks ago, campaign launch for Members First. We're going to be hearing a little bit more from one of the delegates from the United Workers Union about what are some of the issues for workers that are part of the UWU and what kind of difference that Members First could make if elected. But before we do that, let's hear some union news. Health workers in Victoria, where the public sector health officials, members of the Medical Scientists Association of Victoria, have escalated industrial action. After more than a year of stalled negotiations and a government sticking to wages capped at around 3%, workers have moved through stages of protected action. Rail workers, the Aerozone dispute in New South Wales, the dispute between rail workers and Aerozone continues to escalate. RTBU members overwhelmingly rejected the company's proposed agreement with a 97% no vote and have since implemented a range of work bans and stoppages. In regional Victoria, workers at Colburn Water have taken stop work action as their wages have dropped dramatically, down around 13% since 2021. Workers are not only fighting for fair pay, but also pushing back against management tactics, including threats over basic campaign activities like email signatures and messages on work vehicles. In Portland, mobile crane workers at Prince Engineering have walked off the job, highlighting a massive pay disparity between regional and metropolitan workers, with some earning $18 less per week on those who do the same work. In the tech sector, workers at DXC are taking industrial action after more than a year of bargaining. The company previously attempted to terminate existing agreements altogether, effectively pushing workers back onto minimum award conditions. Now, after 14 months of negotiations, the company is still progressing with agreements with no wage increases and reduced conditions. Across the education sector, we've seen stop work actions in Victoria, and it looks like the teachers are going to continue with another stop work action. In Queensland, teachers remain stuck in a drawn-out arbitration process that could stretch into 2027. The ACTU and Tasmanian teachers are also working through their agreements as well. In Bendigo, disability support workers have rallied against funding cuts that threaten the closure of multiple group homes, putting both workers' jobs and residents' homes at risk. At Melbourne City Mission, workers in the union have voted to take industrial action as their over 12-month period of bargaining with management there has not seen an agreement on the table that ASU members are willing to accept. As workers from MCM just a couple of weeks ago went to the Fair Work Commission, looks like management have put forward a new proposal. We'll wait and see if the members accept that. UWU Padre Coffee dispute. Melbourne UWU workers are escalating campaign at Padre Coffee, calling for a public boycott. In the Pilbara, high voltage electrical workers at BHP have voted overwhelmingly in favour of industrial action. Workers are pushing back against individualised contracts and fighting for a collective agreement with fair conditions. Local government workers across Melbourne are taking industrial action as part of their multi-enterprise bargaining agreement, EBA. We've seen across the Marybeck Council, garbage has not been collected for over a week. Certainly put the dispute right in the view of many in the public. And listeners would have seen that the ABC workers had taken industrial action a couple of weeks ago. And it looks like that action has led to an improved offer, including wage increases, better leave provisions, and automatic pay progressions. We'll wait to see the final outcome of that agreement. And that's it for Union News this week. And as always, solidarity to everyone out there taking action, organising their workplaces and building union power. And that brings us to today's feature. Like I said at the start of the show, this week we're focusing on the United Workers Union, and the organizing that's been happening around the members' first approach as they look to shake up the union with an election taking place next month. And I probably don't need to give too much more of an update because Nikki and I get into some of the details of what the members' first ticket is looking to do. And also, Nikki is a early childhood educator. We hear a little bit about her work and what it's like organizing within her sector with the union there, and also a candidate for the members' first ticket for the upcoming election, which is going to be happening pretty soon now. I think within about a month or so. People might have listened to the episode that we aired around a month ago now. That was the launch of the members' first ticket. So, Nikki, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I thought maybe we could start by telling listeners a little bit about like your work in early education and, what are some of the challenges of the work itself and how did you get involved in that work?
So I became an early childhood educator about 8 years ago. Shortly after I moved to Australia, I started working in the sector. It was kind of something I was always kind of drawn to, and moving to Australia made sense for a career change. So I did it the long way. I got a Cert 3 and then a diploma in early childhood education and care, and now I have a teaching qualification in early childhood education. Was a member of the union pretty much right off the bat as soon as I started working in the sector. The last few years in early childhood education, as people have seen, have been quite difficult, with a lot of things coming to the forefront. Since COVID, we were the first people to lose access to job seeker and job keeper payments. We were the first people, kind of ordered back to work on the front lines without much mitigation of, infection control. And we were some of the kind of the early canaries in the coal mine, during COVID-19. And then it's kind of just gotten worse from there. So we've seen the things that happened in Victoria last year, around early childhood education, with the horrific abuse that's happened in the system that's been allowed to grow in for-profit settings, and seeing just how rampant understaffing and abuse of the laws governing early childhood education have affected educators and affected children across the board. And so we've kind of always been at the forefront of some of the most horrific abuses of capitalism. But also some of the horrific abuses happening to children and to workers across the sector.
And I wonder, like, it's obviously a pretty intense kind of work environment, like you've, just said then, but, just looking after young people and kind of managing all of that with some of the issues you outlined around understaffing and the pressures on the workers. How do you kind of fit organizing and, chatting about your rights at work or looking to get people to join the union within that kind of work environment?
Yeah, it's difficult. Most of our day is spent with children, and as much as that work is very difficult and has been subjected to some horrendous things over the past few years, it is also joyful work. It is also one of the best things I've ever done in my life. So I don't want to come across as saying it's a hard job, nobody should do it. It's actually one of the most rewarding careers you can have. And one of the reasons it is rewarding is because actually there is room to have these conversations, not just with your peers in the lunchroom, but also on the floor, talking about like the world you kind of want to build with children. You then kind of open up those conversations with the adults in your classroom as well. So then when you are in the lunchroom, when you are having those moments alone, where there are no children in the room, you can broach the idea of union, you can broach the idea of organizing, you can broach the idea of we deserve better. How are we going to do that? We're going to stand up and fight for it with each other.
And what has the kind of, I guess, before we kind of talk about the current situation with the United Workers Union, what has it been like organizing with the UW, kind of leading up to before this election was time? What are some of the experiences that has that's been like?
In a word, frustrating. I I consider myself a half decent organizer and a half decent delegate. I wouldn't say I'm great, but I do the work and I make the hard arguments and I slog through it and it's rewarding and it's worth it. But there has been a consistent pushback from the union moving away from industrial power, which is of course how we know unionism wins and how we know unionism works. So, about 2 years ago now, we were supposed to have a walk-off for International Women's Day in 2024. And that was something that was made it very easy for me to get people to join. It's like, look, we're actually doing this thing. We've got this walk-off. It wasn't a strike, so it wasn't a protected action ballot, but it was something. It was a meaningful thing to get people excited about bargaining for the multi-employer bargaining agreement that we were entering into. And about a week and a half, 2 weeks before we were meant to walk off, the union actually canceled that walk off because they said, well, the Labor Party has come to the table and we don't want to throw, we think this is positive. We don't want to throw any of that off. We had been asking for a 25% pay rise at the time. And without that walk off, we ended settling for 15, which was a great jump in our pay, but not what we were asking for, and still puts us way behind where we should be now. But also the things that came out of that meeting were really difficult for a lot of us across the country. So myself and other delegates who went to this meeting where they canceled the walk-off, we started to question what was going on. We're like, this isn't how we know things get done, but also we were just being told the walk-off was being canceled. We had a vote. It basically was, do we cancel the walk-off or no? But there was a very clear answer that was expected. And that answer was, yes, we cancel the walk-off. And the few of us that kind of tried to speak out about that ended up getting kind of pushed to the wayside, pushed out of organizing within the union. And kind of working separately towards the union. I know my organizer was actually told not to invite me to meetings anymore. Now, me being me, kind of always found a way to get in, and kind of push myself into the middle of things because I understand that not everyone is going to be comfortable with just waiting for labor to produce something for us. And so I always tried to be that voice of dissent, that voice of actually we can do more, and we will do more, but we need to actually take it upon ourselves to be the union and not just listen to the leadership who is actually on the board or on the national executive of the Labour Party.
So I get it sounds like and I think a lot of these kind of sentiments were echoed at the launch as well a few weeks ago that it's a yeah I guess a really a big part of it is about trying to break some of those ties with the Labour Party and I think one of the things that was mentioned as well is about moving some members' funding away from supporting electoral campaigns and into things like a strike fund or other kind of things that the members can perhaps more benefit from. I think this is an argument that's been pushed and the union movement in Australia for a pretty long time. What's it, what are other kind of like members at work and other people like, what are their response to, I guess, thinking about this and some of the kind of push away from Labor Party connections?
Well, so the people I've talked to have long kind of held the idea that we kind of became an afterthought in the union. So early childhood education has the capacity to be one of the largest portfolios within the United Workers Union. We have it, we are a federally funded portfolio. We're across every state and have coverage from UWU from across every state. But we only have about 3,000 to 4,000 members across the country. And that's really noticeable in how things are organized for us, not with us, but for us. And a lot of that revolves around appealing to the Labour Party. And so the people I've talked to just notice that we are kind of an afterthought. You know, it's about organizing everybody else where it might be easier or might be more politically expedient. Particularly in other states, like in Queensland, where they have the public service as part of UWU, that, you know, is politically more expedient for the union than it is to organize early childhood educators that are barely organized. So, yeah, a lot of us just feel like we're an afterthought, and then that afterthought becomes a pawn of the Labour Party and the fight with the Liberal Party too, because you see how the Liberal Party has responded to early childhood education and talking about funding things like grandparents. And that's not what early childhood education is about. We're not just babysitters. We are something more than that. And yet the federal government doesn't seem to fight for that. Our union doesn't even seem to fight for that anymore. They're just fighting to kind of keep us at the beck and call of the Labour Party.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, it's such a huge union as well. I think, it's around 150,000 members nationally. And obviously, with some of the recent amalgamations with the NUW, which already covered a pretty wide spectrum of workers. It's a I'm not sure if there's a question in here, but I'm just pondering from what you're saying that obviously a lot of unions have moved away from more single industry representation to representing a large group. And, we can understand the reason behind that with a real drop in union membership over the past, 40 years or so. But it is, it does make it difficult to for a union to kind of cover people across such a wide spectrum. And I wonder, is there thought of with the Members First ticket about how to kind of more represent, workers like you're saying about, trying to target more of the early childhood educators, how do you target kind of specific groups when you do cover such a huge amount of the workforce?
Well, I think the easiest way is tapping into the membership. So one of the things that we are doing is actually, as early childhood educators, having a meeting, an online meeting about what we want to see from Members First and what we think the project of Members First is for early childhood education. So that meeting is being run for educators by educators, the first time that's ever happened in the history of certainly UWU and the past 6 years that UWU has existed, but also since United Voice was a thing. We didn't run members meetings. We ran meetings with organizers telling us what we wanted. And so this is actually going to be us for the first time saying, no, this is what we want. And it might look similar to what we've been told we wanted, but we're not going to get it the same way that we're going to, the leadership thinks we should get it, which is by appealing to political power, which is by not making a lot of noise. Instead, we're going to get it by the ways that we democratically decide is worth our time and worth our effort. And that may look like striking, that may look like petitions, that may look like a range of actions, but it will be decided by us. And it will be decided by those of us who are at the forefront of this every day.
There's been, from just what I've observed, some pretty hostile sort of disagreements and engagement with members across the different sides of this campaign online, particularly. Did you expect that kind of hostility? And, I guess wondering, whatever the outcome is post the election, there's perhaps going to be a need to kind of really, smooth over some of those differences or look to bring some, peace back into the union across those kind of differences.
Yeah, look, I somewhat expected it. And that's because I have my experience from the last 2 years as well. I organized as part of UWU for Palestine. And yeah, being a delegate who was kind of blacklisted in the movement, I know the things that were said about me, and I know the bullying that went on behind the scenes. So I was not shocked when this came out to the forefront online because I know that existed already within the bureaucracy of the union. And so I think it's really difficult for those of us trying to run a very truthful and positive campaign when we're met with people who can't back up the things that they're saying and people who are just kind of repeating things that they've heard that are rumors or that they've been told that they only have a half a story about. And it's really difficult to kind of maintain that positivity. At the same time, we know we're doing it for the right reason. And we're not doing it because it makes me look good or it makes Tim Kennedy look good or it makes anybody specifically look good. But we're doing it because actually there is a sense of real need to stand together in solidarity with each other. You know, these are sectors that have come together that have historically been kind of beaten down. So you don't just have early childhood educators organizing together. We're talking with HOSPO, we're talking with logistics, we're talking with pharmaceuticals, we're talking with people in the who are working in the airports. We're talking with all these different sectors for the first time. Like, early childhood educators have kind of always been sectioned off into their own little side union within the union. And actually, it's about building that solidarity outside of those walls. And that's been really positive because, you know, I've been talking to delegates working in food and beverage for the first time and being like, well, these are actually the things we've faced. That's kind of similar to what you face. Or, you know what, we've actually had a really positive experience with these organizers because they tend to think like you guys are thinking about how we organize. And so being able to share some of that across the union in a way that we've never been able to do that before has been really lovely, especially in the face of some of these more, I don't want to say horrific, because they're not horrific. They're honestly embarrassing attacks from the other side.
Well, I guess, yeah, thinking about, if there was, Members First were to win the election, and there seems to be, a little bit of a small kind of push in the union movement. We've seen with the CPSU and some other like union elections over the last little while, like a left wing kind of not quite a takeover, but a push for some like more left wing leadership. And I think an integral part of that is kind of to break away from the Labour Party. I would say, just as a side note, it's not necessarily, and I think there are lots of reasons to kind of break away from the Labour Party, about the Labour Party even itself, but to move away from electoral politics and to have an independent, union to be able to push for ideas that represent their members. What do you think is kind of, what kind of role can the UW play if it were to get the Members First members elected, in this kind of perhaps, push for more left-wing kind of leadership within the movement?
Oh, look, I'm not so hopeful to say that if Members First wins, we'll immediately disengage from the Labour Party. I'm not so hopeful to say that. That would be a personal win for me, but that wouldn't necessarily be the way I think things are going right off the bat. But I do think it is going to build, as you said, a more left-wing union. And UWU, being one of the largest unions in the country, will give that space some new meaning. So as we've seen with the CPSU elections and these great strikes that have come out as late, across a great number of sectors now that have really started to build back toward grassroots organizing and organizing amongst the membership first. I think you'll see that come out on a larger scale if Members First starts to win, because again, we do have some of these really big national and statewide portfolios. So things like the public service in Queensland, things like early childhood educators who are represented nationally, where we can make a difference if early childhood educators go on an actual strike, not just a walkout, but an actual strike, we can shut down the entire economy. Parents can't go to work. That's huge. And we've seen that with the teacher strike in Victoria, that when teachers didn't go to work, that was huge. And so who's saying early childhood educators can't strike? We've seen this actually written on United for You's communication, that they say early childhood educators can't strike. Aged care workers, which we represent in other states, can't strike. And it's like, that's a lie. We've seen teachers go out on strike. We've seen nurses go out on strike. We know that these strikes can work and will work and can be done in a safe way. So if Members First is actually going to win and going to do the things that we say we're going to do, we can actually shut things down. We can actually stop production in a lot of things. Because if early childhood educators go out, parents can't go to work. And that's huge. But then we don't just have this portfolio. We have all these other portfolios that can stand in solidarity with. And I look at things from the eyes of an early childhood educator, but I know that those same things can happen when you look at aged care. If aged care goes out, all of these other scenario, all of these other portfolios can come out in solidarity. If the public service goes out in Queensland, all of these other portfolios can come out in solidarity. If logistics warehouses go out, we've seen that solidarity happen because those logistics warehouses that were under the old NUW, they've built that solidarity over years and years and years of actual organizing. And me, as an early childhood educator, have gone out to those logistics warehouses when they're on strike. So, of course, I expect those logistics warehouses to come out when we're on strike because I know that's how we built.
Well, it certainly paints an exciting picture, Nikki. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. And yeah, good luck with the campaign and the election coming up.
Thank you. I just want to say that ballots should be arriving at the end of this month, and people have a month to get them mailed back in, but we would prefer those get mailed as soon as possible. And yeah, it's going to be an exciting time, whatever happens. This is a huge time of change for this union.
Thanks so much for joining us on the show, Nikki.
No worries. Thank you.
You've been listening to Stick Together on Community Radio Network and 3CR. Big thanks to Nikki from the United Workers Union for joining us on the show today and sharing her thoughts on the upcoming election and about organizing in her workplace. If you want to catch up on this episode, any of the past shows, you can find us online at the 3CR website or wherever you normally listen to podcasts. You can get in touch with us via email or follow us on 3CR social channels. Stick Together is produced at 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne with support of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. My name's James, and thanks so much for listening. And remember, wherever you are, whatever you do, there's a union for you. Until next time, stick together. And just as we finish this episode, we're going to hear a song from Elf Transporter and Ray J 45. And this song is dedicated to Elf, and I hope he gets well soon. I know he's had some unexpected health issues, so shout out to you and hope you're doing well. Until next time, stick together. This song is called Soul Step.
Rage out. Yo, Rage out 45. Yeah. Brethren, let's do it. Clever Austin on the rhythm.
Vibrant.
Are you ready for this?
Pyrotechnics. My born ready people, come on.
Give me a signal, yeah.
People, are you ready?
I got that soul stuff. I got that blown stuff. I got that home stuff. So hold on. I got that haunting
Give me
stuff.
A signal,
I got
yeah.
that dawn. I got that haunty stuff. Hold on. I got that haunty stuff.
Give me a signal,
I got that dawny stuff. I got that haunty stuff. So hold
hey,
on.
Stan, it's magic.
Oh yeah.
Calling transporter. Go to call and stall. I bring an omnidirectional, interdimensional, deadly raw. My phonic beck and call, wrecking ball, you need him. Lyrics bless the spirit, jetty beyond the four corners. For foreigners to the method, let me introduce the blessing. Moment of time captured in the soul, reveal the essence on deck. Legit, fresh,
nothing less.
Five, indefatigable, indelible, hydroject. Destined, steering what's next. Put together with the jazz, embedded veteran hip hop, shredded athletic fuel, kinetic. Cutting them clever endeavors with clever Austin. Tricking like we lost in space, yet found, unbound. We're breaking ground every time that we religion. I know that you know. We resonate with the highest alliance of vibration. Party with us, blind you like you want a spaceship. You want it with the gift to flip your paradigm, relying to shine.
I got that soulful stuff. I got that blown stuff. I got that homey stuff. So hold on. I got that soulful stuff. I got that blown stuff. I got that homeless stuff, so hold on. I got that haunting stuff, I got that daunting stuff, I got that hoping stuff, so hold on. Oh yeah.
Blessed like a Buddha sesh, nesting with some goddesses. Emancipate my mental state, bending it with some sonic gifts. Fortified, live, wide awake, and autonomous. Straight up like an obelisk, everywhere like a monolith. Music, my vessel, demented fifth. Interstellar propeller, forever on my journey trip. Forever, we keep it lit. Taking it to another level, you can see it. Disheveled, the devil, demons, the scheming. Upon my dreaming, I'm beaming. I'm convening with the supreme being, bearers of light. Seraphim like angelic beacons, reaching to higher heights. Happens to inhabit wherever happens, be a mic. I'ma happily ignite more strategy that of evolving revelry, celebrating life. Elevate that movement, recruiting all of your lucid nights. Zone in the moment, honing and making bright. You know the story really ever been told. Unfold the way we do it. Hold the soul fluid as we do. Old school remedies in the booth, plenty every single time. It's Rage at 45, clever Austin transporter. Strong music in the corners to cater.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.